Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Wednesday. Oh, I just can't believe how good this show is. It's the Herd live in LA, wherever you may be. However you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Joel Klatt, Greg Olson, Nick Wright, Joy Taylor, nothing but goodness today. Plus the Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. You know, it's one of those things, I shouldn't say this because our boss is maybe taping the show.
Okay.
But our show is so fun during the football season, and it's easier.
It is easier, yes.
And I'm not above easy.
I was talking about our time doing the show at home and how you and I did 3 hours of sports radio and television 5 days a week with no sports for 4 months.
It was arm wrestling for hours every day.
People ask me, like, what do we talk about? I'm like, I honestly blacked out. I don't know. We made it through.
So we're so glad to have everybody back. And I want to start the show today with my staff wants me to lead with the Aaron Rodgers story. And I'm over him. He's needy. I'm not into needy people. And I don't want to lead with Aaron Rodgers today. He's talking. I'll probably at some point do it. I'm not leading with that today. I like my lead to my show to have a message. And today's message is, the highest compliment that I give my two biological kids is the expectation of high achievement. I expect achievement from my two kids. If they were a couple of mouth breathers, I wouldn't care. They're really smart, much smarter than me, much smarter than I was. So the ultimate compliment I give my kids, I expect high achievement. You are capable of it. And this next segment is actually the nicest thing I've ever said about the Cleveland Browns. And it's the ultimate compliment in the NFL. Their fans probably won't get it. But I'm not interested in talking about the Cleveland Browns this year when they beat crappy teams. I went back and checked. There were several weeks last year I did not talk about the Kansas City Chiefs beating a bad team. It did not make my first 2 hours of the show. Of course they beat bad teams. They're the Kansas City Chiefs. Coach, quarterback, roster, skill people. So the Cleveland Browns were the only team in the NFL week one that had two top 10 offensive linemen graded. Top 10. Only in the NFL. And this will be a year of the Cleveland Browns leading and managing leads. I am therefore going to judge Baker Mayfield more harshly when he trails in the second half like I did this week. If you look at Cleveland's schedule, it is highly likely they will not trail in the second half for the better part of a month. Baker is going to lead because of the dominance of this offensive line and run game. They are going to control the clock. They're going to win time of possession 14 weeks. Folks, they led the Super Bowl champions by two touchdowns this past week, and they were in Kansas City. I am not interested in talking about Cleveland beating bad teams. Believe it or not, there will be Mondays I won't talk about Baker and the Browns. But what I will do is what I do with my kids. I hold them to a higher standard. I'm not interested in your grades in PE. How did you do in calculus? Because that's my grading scale. I didn't spend a lot of time last year at the end of the year talking about Brady and Tampa beating Detroit and Atlanta twice. I didn't spend a lot of time on it. So if you look, and I talked about this yesterday, the difference between great and special and a guy, how do you quarterback trailing in football games? Because that changes everything. Baker Mayfield, twice this past Sunday, had to throw. Last two drives he had to throw. Three and out, and an interception. That's what I'm going to inspect. This is the highest compliment. And why does playing from behind well? Why does that matter? Well, let's look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. They trailed 14 times. They won 9, lost 5. The year before, the Kansas City Chiefs trailed 15 times, and they went 11-4. The Browns trailed for about 2 series, and their offense stunk. And that's the difference in this league. I don't care how Derek Carr plays when he leads. I know in that last drive with 37 seconds, he made 2 huge throws, field goal tie, 1 in overtime. And that's the greatest compliment I can give Cleveland. I'm not interested beating lousy teams. You're so far beyond that. By the way, Mahomes in his career when trailing, and this is what separates him from the league, is 25-10. Baker when trailing is 13-24. There's no question Baker is a franchise quarterback. We're out of that discussion. But Baker wants to be a $40 million quarterback. And 13-24 when trailing, brah, just will not do. And that's why Cleveland hasn't signed him yet. And that's why Cleveland is waiting. This is a league of how do you play in the second halves, especially in crisis. Baker admitted as much after the game, admitted it. Games come down to 2 or 3 throws, and they come down to 2 or 3 throws in crisis, not in the first quarter. So, that is my compliment. We are out of the, is Baker a franchise quarterback? Yeah. Is Cleveland going to win the AFC North? Yeah, I picked them probably. Are they going to lead in 12 to 13 of their games? Yeah, maybe 50. They led Kansas City. I know they won't see this as a compliment, but I am going to put the inspection glass. I'm going to inspect Cleveland trailing because that's the stand. That's where they are now. How are they trailing? It's the only unanswered question. We know they can lead. We know they can run. We know they have the best offensive line. We know they can win the division. We know they can win the playoff game. The only thing now is Baker good trailing late because Mahomes is and Brady is. That's where you're at now, and it's not a criticism. My staff would like me to talk Aaron Rodgers now. I'm not going to. I can't do it. I'm not interested. I'm going to talk about it at some point because the sound's pretty good, but my staff right now pulling out their hair. Uncle Colin, I am over high maintenance Aaron. And so I want to talk about this. So the Bears were bad in week 1, way worse than I thought they'd be. Matt Nagy had a very good September record. They were terrible. They played, you know, they trailed 13-7 at half, then the wheels came off. And what do you do with Andy Dalton? What do you do with Justin Fields? Mark Sanchez came on the show yesterday, and he said this whole go back and forth thing is very difficult. Here's Mark Sanchez from yesterday's show.
These guys have to understand what their role is. It has to be clearly defined. Here's my example. Me and Brad Smith, clearly defined. Sanchez is our starter. This is with the New York Jets. Brad Smith will come in and run some Wildcat stuff. And he was highly effective with that. And it was great. And we knew our roles. We knew what we were supposed to do. It was clear communication. When they bring in Tim Tebow, it's different. Now Tim kind of wants to play. Nobody really knows. Like, so this Tim's won a playoff game too. Like, is he supposed to start? Is Mark supposed to start? To get a rhythm with this back and forth quarterback stuff is really tough.
So you can make an argument, and this is a real thing, that it's time for Justin Fields, and here's why. There are 3 divisions in football. You know this, I know this, Joy knows this, Ryan knows this. There are 3 divisions in football that are just simply better than other divisions. The NFC West and AFC West this weekend went 8-0 with many blowout wins. The AFC North went 2-2, but Cleveland did have to play Kansas City at Arrowhead. Okay, so that's probably the toughest draw in the league, right? So we just know that the AFC West, Kansas City, Chargers, Denver, Raiders, I mean, even the Raiders beat Baltimore, they'll be a playoff team. And then we know the NFC West, Seattle, the Rams, the Niners, Arizona, those divisions are insane, right? And we also know that the AFC North, Pittsburgh's best front 7 in football, Joe Burrow can really sling it, good offense. Cleveland's obviously outstanding. And Baltimore's a very good franchise, just having the cluster injuries. So we know that. So what does that have to do with Justin Fields? So what a boxing managers and UFC managers and promoters do when they find a really talented fighter? They gave him tomato cans for about a year. 10 to 12, maybe 2 years. Go look at Mike Tyson's first 15 fights. These are first-round fights. Build up confidence, refine the skills, sharpen the tools before you put him in there against somebody that can beat him. That's what Dana White does. I got a star. I'm going to give him 5 or 6 fights. Then I'm going to slowly, gradually give him a – somebody can pop him a little bit. Let's test his chin. But you're not going to throw a guy out there against a Conor McGregor in his prime early and just crush the kid's momentum and confidence. That's what boxing promoters Bob Arum, Dana White, a commissioner of his sport, the founder, Don King, Al Heyman, all these guys do the same thing. You're setting stuff up. Well, Justin Fields is that young UFC fighter, right? Right. Look at his division right now. I can make an argument that the worst division in football, and certainly it's one of them, is the NFC North. Lions, Bears, Packers, Vikings. Well, we think the Packers are good. Didn't look like it. But, I mean, three of these teams, if I said they didn't make the playoffs, you'd be like, yeah, okay. Justin Fields, the next 4 weeks he plays Cincinnati, Cleveland, Detroit, Vegas. 4 teams, 1 elite pass rusher. Myles Garrett. That's it. If you look at Justin Fields' division, the best pass rusher in Justin Fields' division is on his own team, Khalil Mack. And if you look at the schedule for the Bears, oh, the big pass rushes are coming. They play Pittsburgh. They play Tampa. They play the 49ers. Those big pass rushes, they're a coming in week 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Could I make the argument now? If you were a boxing promoter, a UFC promoter, or a coach, this is when you give Justin Fields a little confidence. You get him out there. You let him play against very average pass rushes. You make him feel good about himself. Listen, this offensive line for the Bears is a work in progress. It's going to get overwhelmed by Pittsburgh. It's going to get overwhelmed by Tampa. You don't want to put him in that. It'll be able to hold its own against Cincinnati and Detroit and Vegas, maybe Cleveland, although I'm sure Myles Garrett will have a field day. There's an argument to be made, and I was an Andy Dalton starts week one, but there's an argument to be made. You want to give young quarterbacks confidence. This is why the Niners, by the way, with Trey Lance, are like, whoa, 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 we can go real slow on this. I mean, we could play Arizona. Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. They played Seattle last week. They unraveled the Colts offensive line. 49ers. Ask Jared Goff what that was like. You know, I mean, you start looking at now obviously he plays for the 49ers, but you start looking at that division. The Rams, Aaron Donald. You look at the Rams pass rush. You look at the Seahawks pass rush. You look at Arizona's pass rush. Trey Lance, we're going to give you a couple series. We'll get confidence up, put you in the red zone. Like, I get slow growth for Trey Lance. Justin Fields, I'd make an argument. Next 4 weeks, get him out there. Let him play. Let him refine, sharpen, get some confidence. Because this O-line is going to be overwhelmed against the teams in the middle and late schedule. This is the space for him to play. All right, good to have you in. I'm looking at my rundown of stories. No, I'm not going to talk about Aaron yet. I'm not. Joel Klatt, top of the next hour. I'm not. I'm just worn out by it. Yeah, I'm worn out. Urban Meyer, USC, what to make of it? That next, what I heard yesterday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Navien 15-year limited warranty, best tankless water heater out there. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. So Urban Meyer rumors sprouted up yesterday. Mike Lombardi, a former GM, had said he thought something was suspicious. He'd heard some things. So I made 2 phone calls yesterday driving around. One to an NFL GM with real insight, said no chance. And then I called somebody who's close to Urban Meyer's wife, somebody very connected to Ohio State University who talks to Shelley Meyer. You know, wives have a little power in relationships, generally decide where we're going to live, at least in my family and most of my friends, that's how it works. She said no chance. And then Urban Meyer this morning had to talk about it because it's a story, and here's what Urban Meyer said this morning.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
All right, here's 3 things to think about. And guys don't think about this a lot. Number one, his wife loves Florida. The kids love Florida. Wives decide where you live a lot. Wife doesn't love California. Wife loves Florida. They have a house in Sarasota. They love Florida. They love living in Florida. They love the beach. Urban's a very intense guy. They love the beach, the laid-back kind of nature of Florida over the intensity, the traffic, the people, 10 million people in California. They really like Florida. Number two, Urban Meyer leaving would be quitting on Trevor Lawrence. If you know anything about Urban, I don't know Urban that well, but I know Urban pretty well. He always has incredibly close relationships with his quarterbacks. JT Barrett, Dwayne Haskins, Tim Tebow, Trevor Lawrence. He's not going to quit on Trevor Lawrence. He's not going to put Trevor Lawrence through that. And the number three thing, and this is a real thing. I've worked with people in this industry who are really nice people, and I've worked with some jerks. But you know what I've never worked with for a long time? Crazy people. Nobody's ever going to hire Bobby Petrino. He's a crazy person. He, like, quits all the time. This would make Urban look crazy. I mean, quitting after a game? Like, literally after a season? Urban's only 57 years old. He has a chance to make somewhere between $5 and $10 million every year for the next 15 years. Not if he's a crazy guy. Networks don't hire crazy people. Colleges don't hire crazy people. Bobby Petrino's a great coach. Not a good one, a great coach. He's a crazy person. Having affairs with athletic department, getting on motorcycles, getting in crashes, quitting jobs mid-season. He's a crazy person. He should be an analyst. He should be a coach at a top 6-7 school. He's a crazy person. This would make Urban look weird and crazy and untrustable. And he knows that. He's only 57 years old. Urban and I are the same age. I may go crazy at 80 when I can't, you know, when I'm no longer going to look for work. I don't want to be ever viewed as crazy at 57. And so, A, his wife loves Florida. She's got a lot of power in that relationship. Number two, he's not going to bail on Trevor Lawrence. He's not going to do that. He has, like, incredibly close relationships with any quarterback he ever had at Ohio State and Florida. Like, really close. Closer than any coach I've ever known. His offense is so quarterback-based. And number three, it would just be odd. And that's not a good place for anybody seeking employment anywhere to be. Odd guy. Joy of the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, I'm going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. But I think my toxic trait is loving sports chaos. I do. I just love it. Well, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers suffered an embarrassing loss to the Saints on Sunday. But Aaron thinks the team shouldn't spend too much time thinking about it.
No, I mean, I think it might be a freak out outside of the facility. I think it's just it's a good learning lesson for us. You know, we can't play like that. We can't start a game like that. I feel like I said after the game, our energy level was a little bit low before the game. We got to do a better job responding to adversity. So, look, there's not much to say. We got our asses beat, you know, by 35 points. We're all frustrated about it, but you just move on. We got 16 more to go.
I don't think we're freaking out about it. I think people are trying to contextualize how the best quarterback in the league, arguably, was the worst quarterback in the league. It's not that they got beat. It's that Aaron would have had a higher passer rating had he spiked the ball every play. And you and I aren't freaking out about it, but we're like, that's not a great sign from the reigning MVP who fought with his organization all offseason.
Yeah, there's nothing to freak out about. It's a very long season. Most of the time, all the time, except for one time, good teams lose. There are no undefeated teams except for one.
And we both this morning believe Green Bay is going to win the division.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a really bad loss, but
we both think they're the best team. Nobody's freaking out.
No one's freaking out.
He's projecting that we are. We're not freaking out. We're just saying 3 points.
Honestly,
Jacksonville scored eight times, you know, eight times that.
I can safely say none of you have ever seen me freak out. That I'm positive of.
I'm not sure I've ever freaked out.
I have definitely freaked out,
okay.
But you have never seen me freak out, and no one on television has ever seen me freak out. But this was the most lopsided loss of Aaron Rodgers' career, and he was the number one story of the entire offseason.
So
if you come in and you have high expectations and you won MVP last year and you have all this drama and you lose that way, it's not like they lost a respectable bout. Like you said, like you got.
By the way,
you lost by 35 points.
Aaron doesn't like it when we put words in his mouth. Well, he's putting words in our mouth. Well, the media is freaking out. I have read every story, including like local Milwaukee stories on nobody's freaking out. People are just connecting the dots on noisy offseason, worst performance of career. Not a single media person is freaking out. We all know Green Bay's going to win double-digit games.
And clearly, Foxbet isn't freaking out either because the Packers are currently favored by 10.5 against the Lions on Monday night.
Freaking out is they are 1.5-point favorites over a bad line.
That seems like a bit
nobody's freaking
out. That would be a bit of an overreaction. Although, I don't know. We have to see how this trend goes for the Lions, who was an outlier last week, or if they're going to start covering the spread.
I think I would take – I'm not going to bet that game. That's not one of my Blazing Five. I would take Green Bay in that game. It's not one of my picks. I don't
well,
like.
Well, you do have a rule about teams that get embarrassed.
Oh yeah, good teams that get embarrassed in the NFL always play great. Even like, you know, playoff teams that are low end, like Baltimore this next week, losing to the Raiders. Watch Lamar Jackson play as well as he's ever played. Watch, you know. By the way, Cleveland didn't get embarrassed, but they kind of feel they blew a game. Watch Cleveland be great. And definitely watch Green Bay play as well as they have in a long time against the Lions in Lambeau. Yeah.
So a lot of injuries week one. I'm just going to give you a rundown of updates on some of them. Raheem Mostert said yesterday that he'll have season-ending knee injury.
That's not great for them.
The Broncos lost Jerry Jeudy on to IR, high ankle sprain, and Ronald Darby. They are expected to come back this season, but injuries. Ryan Fitzpatrick is on IR. Mekhi Becton, knee injury against Carolina, didn't return. It's believed to be an MCL sprain. And then the Raiders, Denzel Good, torn ACL. Gerald McCoy is out for the season with a knee injury, which is just devastating. He's our family, friend of the show, so that sucked to see that. Yannick Ngakoue, Marcus Mariota, they might have season-ending injuries as well. That's what John Gruden said. And Jeff Okuda had a torn Achilles. So a lot of injuries around the league in week one, not even with any specific team. Obviously the Niners, you know, talking about Raheem Mostert after the injuries that they had last year was really devastating to hear. But
yeah, connect the dots. No starters playing preseason. I talked to Tony Dungy yesterday about this. You don't play guys in that preseason. He was joking. When he played for the Steelers years ago in a preseason, Tony Dungy said, the league has really changed. Tony played for the Steelers. They were playing a preseason game number 4 against Roger Staubach. There was 3 minutes to go in the game. Staubach was still playing for Dallas, and all the starters were in for Pittsburgh. He goes, we wanted to beat the Cowboys. It's preseason. We wanted to beat the – and I'm like
– Well, that's a little extreme. I do think that, you know, there might be some value to starters playing in the preseason. Maybe we – overcorrect sometimes and then there's no starters and we see some injuries, so you know it's somewhere in the middle, which is what most of the old school guys do. They're not playing their starters to 3 minutes left in the preseason game anymore, but maybe there is something to that. But there were a lot of season-ending injuries too, which is really what's devastating. So you were speaking about wives and the importance and influence that they have. Kelly Stafford is the wife of Matthew Stafford, and she was very nervous for her husband's debut with the new team. And she discussed what it was like watching him with the LA Rams.
Matthew had an awesome game. He looked like he was having so much fun, which I haven't seen that side of Matthew on the football field in a very long time. And he took that game ball and he's walking towards the tunnel and he looks up at our suite and gives this, I mean, I wish I could show you, gives this big smile and like both hands in the air. It was just an incredible thing to witness. I felt like my husband has a renewed love for this sport again.
There's no question. Like the Carson Palmers and the Matt Staffords who go to really bad organizations, it sucks the life out of you to be in chaos. I have been so lucky in my career. I have worked with really good bosses and really good owners. What if for the first 12 years of my career, I had a terrible boss? It sucks the life. I mean, this is a hard enough job to... I mean, like the Carson Palmers and the Matt Staffords, I've said this is why I am very pro mobility for pro athletes. I am very pro. I mean, LeBron James went 7 years. They could not get him in Cleveland, a second All-Star.
Yeah.
Seven drafts. Couldn't get him, really, couldn't get him a second great player. It's my responsibility. I'm great every day if I'm LeBron. I'm great every day. Could you just get me one highly functional teammate?
It's a very interesting dichotomy in sports when it becomes professional. And it's now in college as well with the transfer portal. And now we have NIL. So it's going to become very interesting how everyone handles their careers and how fans react to it. Because fans are expected to be loyal or do just naturally have loyalty to their teams and their organizations. But it has shifted a little bit where fans are fans of players specifically over organizations in certain cases. LeBron is definitely a good example of that. Yeah. And so the reaction to guys moving, and now obviously this was a trade situation, but he wanted to leave, and Detroit was uncharacteristically of Detroit very gracious about the situation. Now they got a quarterback in the situation too, so it worked out for everyone. But yeah, the mobility thing it's here to stay, and it should be. You have a very short amount of time in your life. We're not all Tom Brady and going to play for 25
years. Yeah, you get hurt
years.
A lot. Just go find the best space for you.
And you want to win.
Yes.
You're competing. It's not like you're just like showing up to work every day and punching a clock and you don't care what the results are.
That's right.
Like the results are a part of your legacy and experience.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
News. Nick Wright, host First Things First, joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I gave the ultimate compliment to Baker Mayfield today. Of course, it'll probably not land that way when I said the same thing about Baker that I say to my kids, which is high expectations and scrutiny are what I expect for people with great potential. And Baker Mayfield in week one had two drives where he had to throw, three and out and a pick. Very disappointing, Nick. I know you noticed that as well, right?
Well, you know, I missed the very beginning of the show. I apologize. I didn't miss 90 seconds ago where you played, you know, mini violins for Carson Palmer and Matt Stafford, who were drafted by the Bengals and the Lions. Meanwhile, Baker, you know, was drafted by the great organization, the Cleveland Browns, who were 1-31 the 2 years before he got there. And then he got Freddie Kitchens and Hugh Jackson. You're like, oh, Baker, where need to see more. I did hear almost all of yesterday's show. And while you were waxing poetic about Derek Carr, which, hey, good to know there's a huge Derek Carr fan out there. I didn't know they existed. You seemed to imply that Derek Carr's better than Baker.
Yeah. Because
you were like, Carr, they knew he had to throw, and God love him, he made two completions when they knew he had to throw, and then they kicked a 55-yard field goal. And we're going to ignore the interception he threw in overtime because we're going to ignore it. But do you think Derek Carr is better than Baker?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you rather have Derek Carr than Baker?
Yes, I would.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
By the way,
you've
so
lost
would,
the plot, my
by,
friend.
By the way, according to the tiers, the NFL tiers done by Mike Sando, so would NFL executives. They put Carr higher than Baker. That's okay. The NFL executives.
Well, too many of them text with you and listen to your show. You're polluting the general NFL sphere with your terrible Baker take. You'd rather have Derek Carr than Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
I don't know that David Carr would rather have Derek Carr than Baker Mayfield, but you would. Okay. Good to know.
All right.
It's good to know.
So Wednesday is your NFL tiers day. You put them in tiers. So do you have it? Can I see it?
Yeah. Well, I would hope someone has it. I could draw it for you, but hopefully they have it in the production room. They can throw it up there.
Let me look at it.
There we go. There it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So Brady.
What's jarring to you?
Green Bay is now.
Tell me, true contenders.
I thought Seattle looked flawless and Green Bay was terrible, but I'm not sure. By the way, I do like your courage to put Buffalo ahead of Pittsburgh because they are better, but I don't have a problem with Kansas City, although they were dominated for half the game. Cleveland, the second best team, is interesting, though. Tom Brady and Tampa below Cleveland.
Okay. So keep in mind, there's not left to right; it's top to bottom. So it's not second and third. They're just in. You know, we're going top to bottom there. I give Cleveland massive credit. I don't know that anyone else will have a fourth quarter lead in Arrowhead all year. They played the best team in football. They had a lead. It's not their fault that they got Mahomes. The Packers I had where the Rams were, but I got to move them down. They were miserable,
yeah.
But we don't want to overreact too much.
Fair.
I want to ask, listen, about Tampa. So Tampa was there before the year, and I left them where they were.
Yeah.
If I'm Tampa, I'm at least a little concerned about how the defense looked. Dak hadn't played in almost a year.
Fair.
You didn't have the offseason continuity. And if there was one weakness on Tampa, just one, it might have been the secondary. And that's the one spot they suffered an injury. A significant one was the secondary. I would like to just go to the bottom quickly and get your take on it. Like, the Cardinals probably were the most impressive team in the league week
yes,
one.
Yes.
I just still think, like, in my gut, I think they're the fourth best team in that division.
Same here.
Just because it's such a tough division.
Yeah.
And so I give them a ton of credit for what they accomplished. But, and by the way, you know, I mean, he did it a few months too late for me to avoid the ketchup and mustard experience. But wasn't it nice? Didn't it warm your heart to see the old Josh Allen back? Just spraying the ball all over the field. That cannon of an arm looked like a t-shirt cannon firing into the crowd, almost domed a cheerleader. Like, it was great. I was like, that's the Josh Allen I know and love. That made me feel good.
Well, let's agree on something. I was an Andy Dalton should start. Garoppolo should start. I am generally, in most situations, start the old guy. But I said earlier today that boxing and UFC promoters, when they have a young prize fighter they like, they give him 10 tomato cans. They give him nothing but W's. And I look at Justin Fields and that bad O-line, and it's going to be bad all year, and I think to myself, you know what? The next four pass rushes aren't great. This may be the time That's to correct. Get that kid out there because the Steelers are coming, the Niners pass rush is coming, Tampa's coming. So my take is I would move to Justin Fields this morning. Your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, I think the Browns are tough, but Packers – they've got one pass rusher that really scares you, but the Bengals definitely. The Lions definitely. I know the Raiders got a great pass rush
Rarely,
on Monday night, but I don't know how sustainable. Right. They, over the last few years, they haven't. But just set that aside. The Andy Dalton stuff makes no sense. And I'm so tired of people being like, well, the Chiefs did it with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. First of all, one could argue that was a mistake midway through the year. They should have gone to Mahomes. Second of all, Alex Smith had been there for 4 years. He had taken him to the playoffs three times. He'd won double-digit games. He was way better than Andy Dalton, and he had earned more with the organization and the coaching staff. All Andy Dalton has earned with the Bears is $10 million, and they're going to pay him. This idea that they owe it to him is just asinine. And I know there's this feeling. You see this on political Twitter a lot when someone has a take, and they're like, oh, everyone is saying I'm wrong, the left and the right, therefore I must be exactly where I need to be. The other option is, if everyone says you're wrong, maybe you're just wrong. Maybe everyone is correct that you're a dope. And this idea that the whole world, except for seemingly the folks broadcasting the Bears game and Matt Nagy, are like, yeah, probably start the guy who has a chance to be the best quarterback you've had since Sid Luckman, and you're like, nope, it's the red rifle. Maybe you're just wrong.
Yeah.
And maybe when he had the worst passer rating of anybody in the league other than Rodgers, started the season off with a pick in the end zone, that was a sign, go to Justin Fields. It's always going to be hard. It's the NFL. If you're a Bears fan, I don't know how much longer you can handle watching Andy Dalton, especially when you can go beat the Bengals. And so I 1,000%, they got to go to Fields. 1,000%.
Okay, so I watched Miami and New England. It's like watching the same team against each other. I mean, just it really is, except Miami's got more speed on the perimeter. I thought Mac outplayed Tua, not by much, but you're kind of pushed back on the Mac Jones played well thing, I hear.
Well, yeah, so here's the thing. If you have, because people are like, oh my God, highest completion percentage for any rookie ever. You know, didn't turn the ball over. And I'm like, oh, it sounds like he did great. How many points did they score? Oh, 16? Oh, you had four drives of 13 plays or longer, and you had 16 points. The one touchdown you scored came after a very questionable borderline roughing the passer after a third down stop. So how can you be that efficient and only score field goals and one touchdown? Because it's dink and dunk and dink and dunk and dump off. They kept the training wheels on him to such an extent. I know people disagree with me. If I was more impressed by Trevor Lawrence, he threw three picks. He made a mess of things, but he also made some super high-level throws.
Yeah.
And he made some difficult, at least attempted some difficult throws. What I think people have wrong with New England is this. People assume, they're like, well, they just need the quarterback to not make mistakes. They're not talented enough for that to be true. Their offense is better, but it doesn't have any dynamic game-breaking playmakers except for maybe the running back. The defense is good, but it's not the defense of a couple years ago that looked like the best defense in the league. It's just not. It's probably like the seventh best defense in the league. If they're going to win enough games to make the playoffs, they're going to need some explosives on offense. And I think they need to, you know, I know it's only week one, let Mac Jones attempt some of those plays. Week one, it was like they were coaching to avoid the mistake. And that's how you can allow 17 points to Miami in Foxborough and still lose the game.
Very good. That's very good. You're very good today. Don't have to agree Thanks. With you. I thought you were very strong today, and you're stepping your suit game up. That's very corporate. You're kind of anti-corporate.
Oh, it's very. I am. No. That's true. And by the way, I'm gonna as soon as I get off, I'm gonna go on Fanatics and send you the Derek Carr wall hanger that you've been looking for. They've got a lot of them because no one's ever bought one. But I'll send you one.
Nick Wright, good seeing you, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you back in. So the USC job, we already have names coming out. Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator. James Franklin's already denying it. Urban Meyer's already denying it. When people say, I hear this all the time from Southern football fans, USC's dead. It's over. It'll never return. One day the job is open. You've got James Franklin, Urban Meyer denying it. Yeah, I'd say it's not dead. Yeah, when that Auburn job opens up, do you have Urban Meyer denying it? Eric Bieniemy, James Franklin? First of all, USC was the last college football dynasty before Alabama. Ask yourself three questions. I'll keep them easy. Does California have a lot of good high school football players?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Is USC easily the biggest college football brand on the West Coast? Yeah, that's not close. If USC does get rolling, is it easier to go undefeated in the Pac-12 than the Big Ten or the SEC? Yeah, that's 3-for-3. Folks, Notre Dame, we all thought was dead. Last 4 years, they've been in the AP Top 12. They average 11 wins. And they have much more stringent academic workloads. They have a religious overhang. They're in the middle of nowhere. It's cold all winter. It's a small private school. There's three or four great states to get high school football players. Florida's probably number one. California, Texas, Georgia. USC, when they're rolling, gets 20 of the 25 best players in California. They don't even recruit. They just ask. They get who they want. Every position. When Pete Carroll was here, the linebacking core 1 year was so good that Clay Matthews couldn't start. He, the following year, was named NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. He couldn't start at USC. They had four NFL great linebackers. It's just different. This is no shot at the chicken wings places and car dealerships and sub shops in the South. YouTube is based here. Google is based here. Facebook is based here. Apple is based here. if USC gets it rolling, they're going to have 15 players in their program making $1 million a year in NIL. I know Earl's got a, he got a car shop down in there in Auburn, and they pay. It's different here. It's the fifth biggest economy in the world with all the tech places that could pay USC players millions of dollars a year, and they will when they get it rolling if they hire the right guy. Think about this. As big as Alabama is, they recruit heavy out of Florida. But everybody recruits Florida. Clemson does. Florida State does. Miami, Florida, Bama, Georgia, the entire SEC. As good as Alabama is. And Florida is a great high school state. Best 50 players in Florida last year. Alabama got two. USC gets 20 or 25 guys in California the minute they get the right coach. The best college football team for about 50 years in the sport was 1972 USC. Pete Carroll's best teams were viewed as some of the best ever. YouTube, NIL, Google, Facebook, everything's here. They just got to get the right guy. I don't know who the right guy is. They got to get the, and when they do, watch out. Hour two next.